Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
The Bible talks about the importance of, it's called the avos of a thing, the beginning of a thing. And that's why I'm so glad to be able to share this with you today, because last week I was supposed to share this message. And I felt, as I was getting ready for this message, I felt like, this is too important to the DNA of our church not to share with the whole church. God knew the first service turned into the second service and the third and fourth service. For those of you who missed it, we had a prayer service for 9:30. I was supposed to speak the second service. We started the prayer in the first service. It didn't end till 2:30. Dad's still praying in the back parking lot right now. And so I was just cool with it. Even I was like, as soon as it started, I was like, this is God, because then I can just teach this to both. And then my dad came up to me right after service. I hadn't even said anything. He's like, you need to preach both services next week. And I was like, yeah. So as I began to prepare for this message today, I'm calling it Game Changer Moments. It's this last sermon in this series, In His Presence. And this is what God gave me, this word that God gave me today to kick this thing off. This would be a great thing for you to post online to bless somebody. God gave me this. The path to your purpose is hidden in His presence. The path to your purpose is hidden in His presence. So read with me today in the book of Psalms chapter 16 from verse 11. I'm going to read this scripture and then I'm going to break it down a little bit. But this is a beautiful scripture. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me break this down a little bit. You make known to me the path of life. When we were in the hospital with Lion, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. It was very challenging to my faith. It did not line up at all with who I believed God was or what I believed God was supposed to do for Christians, for people who serve Him with their whole lives. It didn't line up with my theology. And in reality, when this had begun, I thought to myself, this is never going to make any sense. Can I be honest with you? I thought no testimony that could come out of this would make this worth it to me. But as time went on and I spent time in His presence, He began to reveal to me why I was on the path that I was on. So in God's presence, God will reveal to you what path to be on, but not only what path, but why you're on that path. And in that process, you will be led to your purpose. The second part of that scripture says, in your presence, there is the fullness of joy. I can remember my mom saying, when we found out about this later on, she told me, I thought to myself, our family's never going to be happy again. That's what she felt like. Because how could you? You know, and please understand my heart when I say this, but I talked to Pastor Sean about this in the back today. When you're facing a situation similar to what we faced with Lion, where his life was on the line, I believe that God respects you going after answers. Because if you just sit back and you just take that, and you just give up and say, okay, then there's your level of faith. But if you say, God, this does not line up with your word. So I've got to be missing something. Show me what it is, Lord. Lord, show me what it is. It doesn't make sense. I can't believe this is happening. But God, I got to be missing something. Show me what it is. I'm not giving up. Amen. Judaism, ancient Hebrew, teaches that God respects and honors when you go after him like that and say, God, I believe in your word more than I believe in this situation. And when you apply that type of a faith, then you can go from that position of not understanding, not having the energy to go on, to having the supernatural power to go on even before the understanding comes. It's your own fuel. Stir up yourself, Timothy. And as that began to happen, and as I began to seek joy, or as I began to seek the Lord, then joy started coming back into my life. Now, I wouldn't choose that situation. And don't pray for a testimony like that. You don't need it. But God can use it. At the right hand of your pleasure, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What that means is that even in the midst of your trial, God can reveal to you the path that you're supposed to be on, that is the quickest route to your purpose. He can show you why you're on that path. He can bring you joy in that season. But here's what you have to understand. It's in his right hand. If you're not within range of his hand, you got to be within his vicinity. You've got to be within range. How do we put ourselves in the range of his hand? By being in his presence. And that is why the path to your purpose is hidden in his presence. What you don't want to find out is when it's too late and you need him, you're not within range. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for everybody in this room. God, I thank you that everybody in this room, Lord, has something incredibly special and powerful to accomplish in 2020. And that's why it is no coincidence that they are here today, so that there can be an impartation of faith, that we can believe in the huge vision that you're going to begin to place on our hearts for this next year. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. You can stay with me. You're good. I want to share with you briefly just a little bit of Lion's story. And it's only been recently that I've even been able to really get into the details of this because it was such an emotional thing. So Lion is a year and, well, he's 2 years old now. He was diagnosed with leukemia at 7 months old. Now, for those of you who know me, you know that Jen and I almost weren't going to have kids just because we were really content in life and really just enjoyed each other's times. I always thought that I would have kids. I love kids, but as time went on, Jen was pursuing her career. She got a master's degree in education, and I was just busy with the church and writing and producing music, and I just really felt content. And we kind of gave ourselves a time period. If we can't decide to have kids by the time we're 35, then maybe children aren't for us. But as that age approached, we began to realize that we couldn't imagine Christmases and New Year's and Thanksgivings and all that kind of stuff in our older years without kids. So we decided to have kids. And when we announced it to the church, nobody was expecting it. And the whole church just went wild. It was just a really great experience. And so Lion coming into the world wasn't really just a joy for me and my family. It was really kind of a joy for our whole church. And Lion was born on Simchat Torah, which is the Jewish holiday where the Torah was given to the Israelites. And it's actually considered to be the happiest of all of the holidays in the Jewish year. Lion was born on that day, on Shabbat. He was born incredibly healthy. He was a big, giant, huge baby. And he was just the sweetest thing, born completely healthy, never been to the hospital, nothing at all had ever gone wrong. And then without getting too much into it, one night, things started going bad. And he was 7 months old, and he just started crying, and all of a sudden he had a fever. It was about 2 a.m, and then all this, we didn't know what was going on. He started throwing up. This is out of nowhere. I'm talking 100% healthy to, he stopped breathing and he started convulsing. So we called the ER, we called the ambulance, and the ambulance came. I thought I was going to be able to get through this, no problem. And, all right, I'm back. So we called the ambulance, and the paramedics came. They said, okay, he's got some kind of a fever. They were there for about 2 hours. Things kind of calmed down, but he didn't seem any better. He was conscious. Everything seemed like okay. They said, if this keeps happening, or if it happens again, you need to bring him to the emergency room. So they left. About an hour later, the exact same thing happened again. So we rushed him to the emergency room. It was about 2 a.m. It was so crazy that, you know, we're super protective parents. I don't know about you. We just put him in the front seat. There was no way we were getting him into a car seat because of the way he was. Jen held him. It was freezing and raining at night. And 2 a.m, we're cruising to the ER with the 7-month-old. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that. It's pretty chaotic. So, don't show that. Hey, Matthew, we don't need to show any photos. I had some photos that I was going to show, but it's okay. Well, yeah. Maybe we'll bring that one back up here in a minute. So that photo that we just showed before that was the first night we got to the ER. So immediately when we brought him in, the doctors knew something was pretty wrong. And so within about 10 minutes, they were doing a spinal tap on him. Now, I don't know if you know anything about spinal taps. They're not fun. Lions had 18 of them. So over the course of about the next 3 weeks, the situation just got worse and worse. They released us from the hospital. We'd be home from the hospital for about a day, maybe 2 days, and then we'd be back in the ER. Every time that we came back, they were doing more and more tests. They kind of started the tests like this, and then they're narrowing in. Now, we're believing that they're narrowing in to zero. Nothing wrong. But after about 3 weeks, they moved us to the children's cancer floor and the oncology floor. And we actually didn't even know what oncology was because I've been raised in faith. So the idea of Lion having cancer never even crossed my mind. But the doctors were ruling all these things out and narrowing it down. So about 2 days before his diagnosis, the doctor said, okay, listen, we can't figure out what is going on, but we're going to have to do these blood tests. And they kind of left it at that. They kind of, you know, indicated, you know, cancer, but we just, honest to God, we did not even think anything of it. We're like, there's no way. And so, so we're at the hospital. We've been there about 3 weeks at this point. You guys are praying with us. We're believing. And the doctor walks in and he had a team of doctors with him. And I knew that wasn't a good sign. And then he started making small talk. And I knew that wasn't a good sign because if it was good news, he'd just been like, man, guess what? It's nothing. We don't know what it was, but you know, he's going to be okay. Started making small talk. I'm sitting there on the chair and Lion's sitting on my lap and Jen's sitting next to me or standing next to me. And then after a little bit of small talk, he goes, well, unfortunately, Lion has leukemia. You never think you're going to hear those words. And I just, honestly, I was just really in shock. I didn't really know what to think. I just couldn't believe it. I just looked at Jen and I was like, No way. That's what I thought in my mind. I thought, no way. So the very next day, they started him on a 2-year chemotherapy treatment plan. Now, as of today, we're a year and a half into that treatment plan, and he's doing absolutely phenomenally. Praise God. So I was going to bring him out here today, but you guys saw him last week. He's doing absolutely incredible. I mean, he's just doing phenomenal. And so I want to put that out there because I know that this is some heavy stuff, but I needed to give you a little bit of just a little taste of like where we were at in this situation so you could understand what I'm about to tell you after this. So just to give you a little bit of context, 1 in 5 children who are diagnosed with cancer don't, or only 1 in 5 make it. I'm sorry, only 1 in 5 pass away. But infants with leukemia, which is under the age of 1, less than 47%, less than half survive. So you could literally flip a coin and have a better chance of surviving than Lionhead of surviving. It's also unbelievably rare. There's less than 150 cases total of infant leukemia diagnosed in the entire United States per year. 150. So it's like literally one of the rarest things in the world. So that's what we were facing. Then Lion was placed on a 2-year chemotherapy treatment plan. And over the course of that last year and a half, Jen and I lived full-time in a hospital room, just a single room, for almost 6 full months. Lion to this day is still on chemotherapy 7 days a week. And we take him into the clinic constantly, and he's had hundreds of procedures. Today we're doing the blood drive. Lion has had 20 blood transfusions. He's had hundreds of procedures. He's had 20 minor surgeries. And he's just been through a lot. But if you notice, the whole time he's a very happy baby. Now you have a little bit of context. Now I want to share with you 3 game changer moments that took place in the presence of God that took us from positions of fear to positions of faith. And, you know, these moments are, I just want you to grasp kind of the mindset that we were in when we faced them. And I want you to be able to apply these things to yourself and understand the importance of you spending time in the presence of God so that your paths can be understood as well. So the first moment, and here's the thing, there are so many moments, and God has given me a book about Lion's situation that I believe is going to change so many people's lives because it's how to get through a crisis and thrive in that situation. Because it's hard for me to even choose 3 moments today because there are so many unbelievable moments in his situation. And over the course of the rest of my life, I'll be able to share little moments that happened in his situation that are going to produce faith in people's lives. So it was hard for me to choose 3 today, but these are the three moments that God showed for me to share with you today. These are 3 game changer moments that took place in the presence of God that took us from fear to faith. The first moment is a moment that I call worship before battle. This took place before Lion ever got sick. How many know that God can give you game changer moments before you actually ever face Goliath? And I've shown you before that video of when Lion was about 3 months old. It went viral on Facebook. I posted it. I just prayed for my son in the morning. And I prayed for Lion, and I was speaking destiny over his life. And I posted it on Facebook, and it went over to over 100,000 views because people were connecting with the idea of speaking destiny over your child. Every morning, Jen would have worship with Lion, and he would learn these songs. This is how I fight my battles. Before any of this ever happened. So we had a game changer moment before we ever had to face this Goliath. And I want to encourage you today. You know, there's a saying out there that says, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. When Lion was diagnosed, you know, I was upset because I knew it hurt my family, and I knew it hurt you. as our church. And I knew it made you go, well, what is this? And if you remember, when I let everybody know via Facebook, I said, first and foremost, this is my first post ever letting anybody know that Lion was diagnosed. It was the night he was diagnosed. I said, first and foremost, Lion is healed, Lion will live, and Lion will thrive. And that's the precedence that we set for Lion's situation moving forward. Well, I wouldn't have had that mindset if it weren't for that game changer moment and many game changer moments before the crisis, before the battle ever started, where I understood the word of God and standing on the promises of God and worshiping through your battle. And so I want to encourage you today to spend time in the presence of God, have worship and be in your word and know who God is before you ever face that battle. The second game changer moment that I want to share with you today is a moment that I call scripture to stand on. And I actually debated, I called it scripture to stand on, but really what I wanted to call it was scripture to fight from. Because there is scripture that God will give you for your life that you can just fight from. And that's that word of God, that's that rock, that's that shot in your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you go, okay, this is where I'm going to operate from right now. This is my fortress. And I will tell you that one of the more difficult things that happened with Lion was about 3 weeks after he began his chemotherapy treatment, which he was getting through IV into his arm. They told us, okay, now he's getting this through IV. He can't be on an IV for the next 2 years. So what we have to do is we have to put what's called a central line into his chest. Matthew, bring up that last picture, will you, buddy? The one with the central line in Lion's chest. So that's Lion smiling. And this is the central line in his chest. So this is two cords and it goes through his chest wall into his heart. And while he's getting his chemotherapy treatments, which would last anywhere from 3 hours to 24 hours of chemo straight, he'd be getting chemo through one and then he'd be getting fluids through the other. So pretty much for the entirety of the 6 months we lived in the hospital, he was hooked up to fluids. Imagine having a 7-month-old constantly hooked up to a cable like that, trying to roll around, trying to eat, all this kind of stuff. I mean, just the mental place that we were in was just, it was so challenging, you guys. And I can remember about 3 weeks after he was diagnosed and they put this central line into his chest, I was angry. I was not happy about that. And they said, we got to put this into his chest. And this is how he's going to get the chemo. I said, why are you going to put the chemo through his heart? Through his heart? The poison's going through his heart? They said, well, because the poison or the chemo is pumped to the body through the heart most efficiently. So, and there's so much that God did in this thing. It's just amazing. But one night, I think it was the night that he got his central line, I was praying. Now, we're in a little tiny hospital room, and Jen is sleeping in the crib with Lion. He's hooked up to his machines, and I'm just pacing back and forth. You can take that picture down, Matthew. And I'm going, God, how can you let this happen? How is it that Lion has to have the poison through his heart? I'm like, his heart? He's 7 months old. And as I was praying that, God reminded me of the scripture right there. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning, probably. And guys, in that hospital room, it'd just be dark. And I would just be pacing back and forth, just praying, going to war. And right in that moment, God reminded me of this scripture, Mark 16:18. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. And I got, I felt the Holy Spirit. And I just weeped and I was like, oh my gosh. Now, that scripture comes from the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of men. Then it goes on to say, listen, when you're serving God in this way, When you're serving God, when you're in his presence, this is when the paths, this is what I'm talking about, the paths being made. God, how am I on the path of being in this hospital room right when the church was really starting to you know, just come together in the way that we dreamed of for so long? How am I? You took me and put me on an entirely different path. Now I'm stuck in this hospital room. My son's got tubes in his heart. And God reminds me of this scripture. Because I'm in his presence. I'm in his presence. And in his presence, the paths, the hidden paths to your purpose are revealed. And God pointed that scripture out to me. And I said, oh my gosh. And I knew that that was a game changer moment. That night, for the first night in... At that point, we'd been in the hospital for probably almost 2 months straight. 2 months straight in a room. And I thought, man, prison'd be easy. I thought, that night, I slept peacefully for the first night in months, because we'd been going through this even prior to our start of our permanent hospital stay. And I just slept with a peace. And I thought, this is something that I'll preach for the rest of my life. Because how many pastors, I've been a pastor for 16 years, and I've been in ministry my entire life. How many pastors have ever actually had context for that portion of the scripture? None. I've never heard anyone. And now I could say to people who are going through chemo or going through something, you know, when you face your son at 7 months old, like going through this, then... you could pretty much relate to a lot of other levels of pain. And that's one of the things that God did for me, is he took me from being able to operate from a place of sympathy to a place of empathy. The difference between, man, I feel bad for what you're going through, to, man, I understand what you're going through. Let me tell you what God did. And if he did it for me, he could do it for you. And let me just say on that, that where we landed in our faith is that God did not do this to us, but God will use it to do something through us, and he'll use it to do something for us. And that's the same thing for you. If you're going through a situation that you know, this doesn't make sense, hang in there, stay in the presence of God. His presence is where his hand can touch you. It will begin to reveal the paths to you, and your paths will lead to purpose. And he will do something through you that otherwise could not have been done. God's done things in my life through this situation that otherwise could not have been done. And this will be a platform that for the rest of my life, I'll be able to speak from. I wouldn't choose it, but I am going to use it. Amen. The third game changer moment that I want to share with you today in closing, and we can wait for the band to come up. Is a moment that I call angels in the room. Intriguing, right? So, I'm going to try to tell this story. There's multiple parts to it. And then we're going to close. So, we'd been in the hospital for a few months at this time. Probably close to the 50-day mark. The first time we were there for 50 days straight. And we'd already been there for 3 weeks prior to that, went home for a day or two, came back. So we were pretty worn out at that point. Lion's situation was touch and go. He was given a 47% chance of living, so we really didn't know. But we were speaking faith. But statistically, we really didn't know. We're on a floor of all kids with cancer. So not a fun place to be. I wake up one morning and Brandon calls me and he says, hey, Luke, I was just out on a run and I was praying. And he says, I said to God, we know you're in this situation, but we need to see you. You ever feel like that? God, we know you're real, but we need to see you. And he says, I went home. And after my run, I was getting cleaned up, and I saw what he saw, his dad's Bible on his nightstand. Now, his dad is Pastor Larry Reed. He's a famous evangelist known all around the world, one of the greatest men of God. And Brandon's dad's Bible is like his prized possession, and it's there on the dresser. So he grabs the Bible and he just opens it up, and it opens up to Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. I'm going to read this to you. It says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. Joshua went up to him and asked him, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' Now listen to the response. The man says, 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?'" I'd call that being in the presence. So Brandon calls me and he tells me this scripture and he says, "Man, I don't know exactly what all this means. I just know, I feel like there's angels watching over you in this situation." And I'm like, "Okay, I received that." Now, Jen and I had just bought a house right before Lion was diagnosed. We'd been living in an apartment. We were so excited. We bought this house. Then the enemy tried to steal the joy of that. I'll talk about that another time. Said, "Nope, you're not stealing our joy on this, devil." And we actually had to close on the house from the hospital. So later that day, we'd been in the hospital for a few months. Later that day, I went home because I had to meet a painter who I had met at the house so that he could paint a couple of the rooms. So I go to the house and my heart is just destroyed. It was weird, you guys. Like, we'd been in this room for so long, and then you'd go out into the real world and everybody's just going about their lives and you're just like, "I'm just trying to keep my life together right now. I'm just hoping that my son survives." Have you ever, you know, can you relate to that at all? I'm just like, just felt like a zombie walking around, you know? And so I had to go home to let the painters in. So I go to let the painter in and I'm just, my mind is just, you know, I'm believing, I'm faithing, I'm doing everything I can, but I'm in a pretty bad spot. And the painter barely spoke any English, and it's him and his son. And next thing you know, he's kind of asking me like what I do for a living. I tell him I'm a pastor, and he says, "Well, I'm a pastor too in Mexico." And I go back and I speak in Mexico, but he says, "But I only minister to people who are going through really tough situations." And I'm like, "Can you pass me water, Katie?" And I'm like, "I don't really know what that means, but okay." So I said, "Well, thank you." I said, "Well, I'm going through something right now." I said, "You know, I just came from the hospital. My son is facing, leukemia right now." And he says, "I want to tell you a scripture." He says, "Have you heard this scripture in Joshua 5 where the angel..." Now, remember what I said about the paths. He makes known the paths. He shows you why you're on the path, but you got to listen. You got to listen. You got to be within reach. And I'm like, "Whoa." I'm like, "Okay. Guys, I'm telling you, he barely spoke any English. I barely understood what he was talking about, but I was like, okay, he's talking about the angel." And it's a great story. And so I'm like, "Okay, God's doing something here." So then I leave him to finish the painting. And then I had to go back to my apartment and I had to pack up our apartment and do laundry. I'm just by myself. It's just a very hard situation. And I come back to my house later that night around 10 o'clock at night so that I could drop off some of the stuff that I'd packed up to move. And I walk into our new house, and this is supposed to be a place that's just full of joy, and we're in our house, we got a baby, but instead I'm walking in by myself to a completely empty house late at night and with my son and my baby in the hospital, and it just didn't feel good. And I go into my living room, and I just sat down. I got this. I sit down in my living room, and my ceilings are really tall. They're 20 feet. And I just sit on the floor, and I'm thinking about these scriptures, and I'm going, "God, you showed me these scriptures from two people. I want to see an angel. Let me see an angel, Lord. I wanted to see something. You know? You can hear the word a lot. You can read it. But when your son's life's on the line, it's like, man, let me see something, Lord. And I sat there on the floor and I prayed for about a half hour. God, just let me see an angel. Let me see something so I know you are in this situation. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I opened my eyes and there was nothing there. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just keep going in faith. And then I remembered that my mom had called me that morning. And I thought, well, I better call her back so she's not worried. And I looked at my phone, and my phone only had 1% battery left. So I called her, and I put her on speakerphone. I said, Mom, I said, just so you know, I got 1% battery left in case my battery dies. And she says, okay, great. I'm glad you called me back. You doing okay? I said, yeah, I'm doing okay. She said, well, I just wanted you to know we found a mover to move all your stuff into the house, and his name is Angel. And my battery died. True story. True story. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I just cried. And I was like, okay, God, you're watching. But I said, but God, why wouldn't you just show me the angel? And right then God said, because I need you to walk by faith and not by sight. And that was a game changing moment in our situation with Lion. And it's a game changing moment for the rest of my life and should be for your life as well. God wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, the next day, I called my mom and dad, and I couldn't wait to tell them that story. And I said, Brandon told me the story about the angel, and then the painter told me the story, and then I'm praying, God, let me see the angel, and nothing happens. And I go, I better call mom back. And I call her back, and she's like, great, great, great. I'm like, Mom, 1% battery. She's like, great, just wanted to let you know, found a mover. His name is Angel. Boom, battery dies. I'm like, so I know. I said, but Dad, one part was weird about this because in that scripture, he says to the angel, are you for us or for our enemies? And the angel said, neither. And to me, I was like, what does that mean? Does that mean God is impartial to these situations that we go through in life? And that was one of the things that I never believed. I believed that God was involved. But then having faced this, I was like, okay, I know rain falls on the just and the unjust, but something's up here. Is it just that in some ways, in some instances, God is impartial? Is that, because why would the angel say, I'm not for you or against you? And my dad said, you know what, let me study that. And so he went into some ancient Hebrew teachings. And what it teaches is that the reason why the angel said, I'm neither for you or against you, I'm neither fighting with you and neither fighting against you, is because I'm here so you don't have to fight at all, because the battle is the Lord's. And I was like, whoa, game changer moment. So I'm going to ask the team to come up here today, and we're just going to pray. Thank you for helping me to get through that. It's hard to share that stuff, but God is good. And I believe, like I said, that God has probably already been releasing into your lives vision for 2020. And I want to encourage you today to allow him to open you and open your eyes to even greater vision for 2020. And I'm just going to ask everybody to stand, and we're going to go ahead and close in prayer. I don't want anybody to leave at this time, because this is the most important part of this service. We're going to pray and release an impartation of faith into your life to be able to believe for the vision that God is placing in your life right now. But before we do that, I want to ask for everybody to please bow their heads and close their eyes. As this is the last service of 2020, I want to give an opportunity for people to give their lives to Christ. Maybe you're in this room here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never dedicated your life to Jesus. Today is a great day for that. All the things that I talked about today, the presence of God, that's only made possible through having Jesus in your life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody. I want to ask if there's anybody here today who has not given their life to the Lord, or maybe you're just away from the Lord. Maybe there's distance. Maybe when I talked about being in the proximity of his right hand, where he can touch you and lead you and guide you, you go, you know, I'm not in that area. I'm not in that proximity of God, but I want to come back to him today. I want to ask you to do something very bold, and I'm going to count to three. And if you're that person today that wants to give your life or rededicate your life to Christ, and this last service of 2019, getting ready for 2020, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Hands up all over the building. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. Keep them up high. God sees your hand. 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 In the back, God sees your hand. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. Would you give these people a clap this morning? Hallelujah. Let's all pray this prayer together. Father, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died on the cross so that I could have eternal life. And I dedicate my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering today. Now, what we're going to do here, and I promise you we'll be out of here in no less than 2 hours. I cracked that joke last week. My dad was right here, and he wrapped up the service at 2:30. And I go, Dad, I'm about to announce second service starts in 5 minutes. Okay. But I don't want anybody to leave, because there's an impartation of faith to be done today. So what we're going to do, I want you just to join hands and lift up your neighbor's hand. And I'm going to have the team sing a little bit of a song. And I want you just to allow right now for God to begin to release upon you an impartation for great faith and vision for 2020. Amen.
And I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see, and I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord, I know. And I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Now just stretch your hands up, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just release upon New Beginnings right now, Father, an impartation of faith, God, that does not come through from me, but comes directly from you, Lord. God, release great, great, extreme faith into your people right now. God, to believe for all of the things that you're going to show us that you are wanting to do in us, for us and through us in 2020. And if you receive that, give the Lord a shout of praise this morning and a clap offering.